Be'ezer Hashem, tonight we're going to be doing Chinuch Habanim number 2. Last time we spoke about the metaphor of raising children in, like planting. And as you see on the cover page, what we're going to discuss is the component of the sun, which last week we argued was love, projecting love to children. And that's going to be the first part. And the second part is we're going to talk about preparing the ground for planting. As in many of the instances in discussing parenting, I always love to start with Revolbi's description of, I like to use the book almost as a Bible. And let's take a look at page Chaf Beis. We just started. Page Chaf Beis, how he describes Ava, how he describes what is giving love to children. So Revolbi writes the following: Mitbonen k'tzat b'darkei achinuch, ma'hein hadrochim hanechonot sheyesh lechet behen kasher anu boim lechanech et yeladeinu. And he observes something absolutely fascinating. Revolbi observes something fascinating that is entirely scientific. He quotes biologists. Echad ha-biologim ha-gdolim, Mossad Divine Flau. I won't read in Hebrew, I'll just say it in English. You can follow along in the Hebrew. And that is, he pointed out that animals, when they give birth and have offspring, the offspring become independent very, very quickly. In contrast to children, there is an extended period of time of infancy and being toddlers. And Revolbi suggests something from biologists absolutely fascinating. Towards the bottom, he says, Has maskanaho lemikach, after he describes this phenomenon, she'atinok tzarech limatzei b'toch harisa shel habayit, that the baby, in a certain way, is in gestation even after they come out. Now, the woman here will say, we have no idea what that means. But at the end of the day, what Revolbi is arguing is that on a certain level, a child requires the same warmth as if they were in a mother's womb. B'loshon acheret, chom, the warmth. Pam gidulet, and then he describes the tragic phenomenon that they raised children in kibbutzim by separating them from their mothers and the terrible results that came from that. And so therefore, one of the most important things that we could give to our children is absolutely nothing intellectual. It doesn't require a lot of cognitive processing, but it's something that's very, very deep, and that is warmth. And he argues that that warmth is something that is an extension from being in the womb, the child being in the womb itself. And therefore, we have a very, very powerful line from Rav Elio Lapian, a few pages in, we're going to go jump around a drop over here, where Revolbi continues on page Chaf Dalid. He quotes Rav Elio Lapian, who was one of the great mashkichim of the previous generation. Ein l'shayer, the third paragraph on page Chaf Dalid. Ein l'shayer, kama mazik ha'odam liyelet kasher hu makeh oto makot shel mamash. We cannot fathom what any type of physical confrontation with children creates. Rabbi Yoel Apiano ya omer lanu tamid im yiladim rak bederach tova. And it's based on this psychological phenomenon that what children need when they're young is that warmth. Rak bederach tova. Okay. So that is, I think, something that we need to be mechazik ourselves before we even start. It requires absolutely no deep cognitive processing on our part. Just being there and being warm without words for our children is something that's deeply, deeply, deeply special. But, of course, it goes a little bit deeper than that. If we take a look at page 35, Dr. Radcliffe quotes the great psychologist, from what I understand he came to speak in our yeshiva a couple of times, and that is Dr. John Gottman. This is from Dr. Sarah Hannah Radcliffe's book, and she describes what she calls emotional coaching. Emotional coaching is one of the best tools for strengthening the parent-child relationship. So notice, we're now going from a child who is an infant, when they're toddlers, to already now the age 3, 4, and 5 years old. And one of the greatest things that we could do for children is emotional coaching. If you watch good parents, they do it all the time. It affects both security and behavior. Emotional coaching is the skill of accompanying our children on their journey, much as our inner compassionate parent accompanies us. The concept was coined by Dr. Gottman in his wonderful parenting book, Raising an Emotionally Intelligent Child. Dr. Gottman found that emotionally coached children become emotionally intelligent. They were smart about the world of feelings. You know, a Talmud here in the Kollel came over to me, and he said, I've observed and I've noticed that the best Rabbeim for Talmidim between the ages of 18 and 21 are Rabbeim who not only teach, but also do other things, emotional things with their Talmidim as well, aside from being great teachers. And what he was describing was emotional intelligence. To be a great teacher is also to have the ability to be able to project emotional intelligence as well. And that's something that every parent could do for their children. Gottman said, that parents who did emotional coaching with their children help their children be aware of both their own feelings and the feelings of others. They could relate empathetically to people and therefore had better social skills. Okay, so what's the secret? What's the secret to creating emotional warmth? And that is, parents need to acknowledge and accept and be with their children's emotions. If we have a chiddush tonight, what I'm trying to do is to show that what Rav Volbe describes as physical warmth of being close to children is not only warmth in a physical sense, which is the starting point, but it's also warmth by being with your child's emotions. So a parent could be with their children physically, but the children don't necessarily feel when they're getting older, 3, 4, 5, 6, and of course, all of us have been teenagers, during that period where we don't necessarily feel that our parent is with us, even though they're in the same house. And even if they give us a hug. In fact, there was a woman who told me that she has a great mother, but the one thing that her mother did not do when she was younger was didn't display a lot of physical affection. And she said as she got older, her mother started to hug her and kiss her more. And she said it was very, very uncomfortable. It was something that she wasn't used to. And we're talking about a good mother, but it was something that was uncomfortable because it wasn't something that she had grown with. So the same thing applies emotionally. If a parent is not there doing emotional coaching through the age of 4, 5, 6, 7, then we can't expect that when the child is going to reach adolescence, that all of a sudden, when life's heavy issues begin to hit the child, that they're going to come and be forward with their parents. So how do we do emotional coaching? So thankfully, Sarah Hannah Radcliffe gives us 3 suggestions. Number 1, she gives us the order in which things are done. Acknowledge when a child shows any kind of emotion, happy, sad, scared, acknowledge it. And here is something very, very beautiful and deep, simple but deep. Name the feeling. In other words, if you see that your child is upset, for instance, I see that you're upset, or you look worried. I wouldn't use the word you're mad at me. I find that a little bit too violent. But you're upset at me. Do this before saying or doing anything else. And do be sure that your facial expressions, tone of voice, and general manner are reflecting the feelings, to say it with feeling. So the first thing in emotional coaching is showing the child that you're with them, in the sense that simply you try to help them label their feelings, to label them. How do you do that first? By simply to acknowledge. That's step number 1. Step number 2, she used the word accept. If you notice in the photocopy, I also added another word and understand. Rather than argue with, correct, or otherwise attempt to change the child's feeling, simply accept it. In the past, I've given an example, which I think is very, very powerful. And that is, every parent wants their children to be happy and happy in school. And when a child comes home and says, "Mommy, I have no friends." Let's start off from the beginning. Mother notices that her child is upset, and she says, what's wrong? So let's say it's a little girl. Her name is Sarah. So Sarah says, "Mommy, I have no friends." Now, if you're that mother, that's a very, very hard thing to hear. The instinctive reaction for a mother in such an instance is to say what?
Of course you do.
Of course you do. Is that the right response? No, it's not the right response. The most important thing is a child to feel that the parent is with them in there. So accept and understand. I think this is an even more powerful example of friends than in regards to pizza, but the same could apply in regards to pizza as well. You don't want pizza tonight, I understand. Why? So there is, now, it's more than just simply accept. You could ask the child, you could show that you're really interested in trying to understand why it is that they feel that they don't have friends. But at the same time, never to negate the emotion. I say this in Shalom Bayis as well. My wife says that if your wife feels that way, it's valid. Because that's how she's feeling. It doesn't make a difference whether it's logical or not. She's feeling that way. So lahavdil, in regards to chinuch as well, the same thing applies. If the child is feeling that way, so what is our order of things? To acknowledge. We're going to see that Radcliffe is going to go on to describe, to label how the child is feeling. To accept and understand, to be willing and to be open. And don't be scared to accept that feeling. The world is not going to change just because the child says that she has no friends. It's not going to become a self-fulfilling prophecy that you accepted and you didn't negate it. Hafuch, she'll feel that she has number three, and that is someone who is with them. When feelings are strong, the parent should just be with them or sit with them. I think some of the women might agree that I should also discuss this in Shalom Bayis as well. And not only that, this applies also in regards to emotions too, with people in general. And sometimes it is just about accepting that this is the way your child feels, or this is the way your spouse feels. So this is the keys to emotional coaching. And if you skip to the next page, you will see then how it goes to the process of labeling. And this is going to take us to one of Dr. Radcliffe's most important pieces, and that is the clear method. The clear method is where a parent takes this koach, this strength of being able to be with children and understand how they're feeling on page 30, and that is when a parent observes how a child is feeling. C stands for comment. There are no vowels over here. Clear is C-L-R. When a parent comments, "I see you're waiting quietly," then labels their actions, say, "That's very patient of you." We're no longer talking about a child that's feeling sad, but we're talking about a parent that is with their children. And R is reward, which we're going to spend another time discussing. What is the difference between bribes and rewards? It seems to be a very, very subtle line. What's the difference between two? That's going to be a very, very important discussion that we're going to have. But at the end of the day, this is a hamshacha. It's an extension of this idea of emotional coaching. And that is, emotional coaching means being with the child, and the clear method is an extension of that, where the parent shows that they notice what their children is doing. They're waiting quietly. They label it so that there is a clear understanding between the two of them. That's not only quiet, but it's patient. And now amida is being developed. We've gone from a verb or a lack thereof to actually developing a mida and then rewarding the mida. But the starting point is all this son, and that is the love for children and being with one's children. Okay, so that is the first part of tonight. First part of tonight is the realization that warmth is the most important thing that a child could feel. But warmth isn't only physical closeness. Warmth is also being with them emotionally. And the moment that you're with your child emotionally, then you're ready for the clear method, which we're going to develop more further on. And that is when the parent and child are in the same zone where the mother or father can label, could comment, could label, and then the reward is going to work. And then the encouragement of certain midos will be developed. Second half of tonight. Preparing the ground for planting. Let's take a look at Revolbi on the last page. Revolbi makes another amazing point. Hatama ishit. Making things very personal and personally appropriate. Davar nosaf she'orim tzrichim liyot muda'im elav hu hakarat hayeled im tchunatav hapratiyot. Every parent has to recognize their child's particular characteristics, strengths, and weaknesses. Ein yeladom lechavero. Now, I remember in school always hearing this, that no two kids are alike. I could say I didn't understand this until I had, Baruch Hashem, four children, and every single one of my four children are entirely different. I never dreamed that a person could have that their children could be so different from each other. I think you only realize it when you become a parent of a few children. It takes a while to internalize that. Even though my sister, my brother, and I are all different, but somehow I didn't realize it until I became a parent. But that's a tremendous achrayas. It's a tremendous responsibility, because what works for one child doesn't necessarily work for another. And that's something that's so important for us to realize in terms of preparing the ground. So we're continuing on the mashal. You have the mashal being the child, being the metaphor, the plant. The sun is the warmth. And now to prepare the ground for being mechanich, the child. Continues Revolbi. Im haorim einam yodim zos umiyachasim liyelet kochot she'ein lo hachinuch v'ha'amal she'ein mashkim lo yemuchuvan klal lo to hayelet. And he develops the idea, chanoch lenar al pi darko, that every child needs to be encouraged to grow based on their strengths. And he quotes a Vilna Gaon on page Yutes, a very, very famous Gra. And you know what? Let's start with even the Gra begins on the bottom of page Yutches. Hagra masbir sheyesh dvarim sheyef shal shanot. There are some things that we cannot change. Behemshech maybe Agra on the pasuk of Chanoch lenar di pidarko, that he says the following: Shenitna habechira biyad haadam sheyuchal lechos b'mazal ulamido kifi sheyirtze, o tzadik o rasha o benini. As Rav Ashi says, that if someone was born under the mazal of red, so they could either become, God forbid, a murderer, or they could be someone who donates blood to others. In other words, in their tchunas hanefesh, some child have a disposition to be very, very passionate. Some children are laid back. Some children are studious. Some children are not. By the way, not every successful kid in yeshiva is a studious one. Not every Talmud Chacham is someone who's naturally studious. I see Talmidim who can't sit in one place, but they chap, they grab in 10 seconds what takes other Talmidim 10 minutes to grab. And the rest of the time they're just running around. But they're learning, they're growing, they have different tchunas hanefesh. They have different tchunas hanefesh. They have a different component to them. And therefore a parent that takes a child who it takes him 10 seconds to grab what it takes someone else 10 minutes and tries to get the child to sit for 10 minutes is, God forbid, destroying the child. And that requires a tremendous amount of wisdom and a tremendous amount of thought. In other words, here, it's not as simple as the clear method. Here, just this general idea of just being with the child is not enough. A parent has to be very, very careful that each one of their children has particular tchunos, and to make sure that they're working within their characteristics and within their kochos. And that is another another level. Hatama ishit, making sure that the child is ready. Truth is, the Gra then is self-explanatory, what I had described from here. And I think that's something that is very, very important. There's a great psychologist, his name is Dr. Mordechai Reich, who, he's one of my go-to psychologists that I send my Talmidim to. He's a gadol, in my opinion, in this field. And he, when I told him years ago that I was starting to teach the parenting class, so he said, it's an amazing, amazing thing. And this just reminds us that it's halacha l'maisa, Baruch Hashem. Dr. Reich said one of the things that he thought that was important for us to emphasize, and I included here in this discussion of preparing the ground, I think it's something that is very much connected, and that is that parents also have to realize to be, when they're mechanchim, is they also have to understand themselves. So for example, let's take the case that I said about a kid who his nature is that not, he doesn't like to, he's not built to sit for 10 minutes straight. Now what happens if I am the type that is a rigid person? I'm the type of person who is very studious, and for me, sitting for 10 minutes is a no-brainer. That's how you're supposed to sit and study. If I understand my own rigidity, then that's the first step in helping a child who's going to deal with some of those issues like sitting for 10 minutes. So therefore, Dr. Reich makes a very, very important point in terms of hatama ishit. Hatama ishit is not only about understanding the child. He said, tell the parents, tell these young parents that it's just as much about understanding themselves. Understanding our strengths and understanding our weaknesses. And there isn't a single man or woman that is sitting in this room right now who doesn't have both strengths and weaknesses. I don't know if we could say the same about an infant, but every single one of us that are sitting here has both strengths and weaknesses. And therefore, that's going to affect the dynamic. And now it gets into an amazing triangle, right? Because it's me, it's my wife, and then it's the baby. And then it gets begins to multiply, permutations, right? It's me, my wife, and two kids. And then two kids also play off of each other. And then we forgot something else. It's me, my wife, my wife's parents, and my parents. And then it gets into these fascinating permutations. So the more we understand about ourselves, our relationship with our parents, and so on and so forth, that will affect the hatama ishit that we bring to our children. If we ourselves were treated not properly because we weren't able to sit, we have to be aware of that if our children also aren't the types that are going to sit. I'll just throw in one more line since I've been using that example of hatama ishit. I'm not a professional. I'm saying this as a Rebbe, not as a professional. Just my experience as a Rebbe and as a parent. I think the term ADHD is a valid term. It's a valid diagnosis. I'm not going to prejudge it. But I will say that I think a lot of times because people don't do this hatama ishit that Revoldi describes, there's a lot of times kids who are labeled with ADHD are put into a box that they don't have to be put into. A lot of times kids are put on a medication where they don't have to be. Sometimes they're put on medication and it helps tremendously. But I think it's important for us to realize that there's so much more that goes in to being a good parent than just getting a diagnosis and reacting based on what a psychologist or psychiatrist recommends. It's hard. It's challenging. Some children are more challenging than others. But if a parent works with Chanoch L'Nar Al Pi Darko, it says every child is a holy neshama. Every child has the ability to reach tremendous potentials, no matter what their strengths and what their weaknesses. Everyone could become a gadol. We just read that in Musar Shmuz tonight. Tosis and Ksubas and Av Samach Gimel and Aleph says, as long as a person goes in a particular direction, every single one could become a gadol. I'm not talking about gadol being in the Yaten Neman or the Jewish week. I'm talking about a gadol that means being a great person. That's what I'm describing. And that, every single Jewish child has the potential to become. With that in mind, there's something that's like uncomfortable. Especially, I think, in our yeshiva, where we emphasize beautifully, and I don't take away 1% of the beauty of it, where we emphasize so importantly the importance of embracing every Jew, Basher Husham, where they are, showing Avas Yisrael to everybody. But there is something we have to realize for Hatama Ishit, and that is there's such a thing called negative influences on children. And that means that one of our responsibilities as parents is to protect our children from negative influences. And that's also Hatama Ishit, is to recognize our children as a child is getting a little bit older, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are certain children that are drawn to negative components in secular culture, some children a little bit less. If we know that sending our children to a certain place that will expose them to things that are negative, then we have as a responsibility as parents to choose the spots where our children go. Now, instead of obsessing all the time about where they're going and where they're not going, the best thing that we could do for giving our children is to give them a value system when they get older, emphasis that when they get older, that they'll be able to have the strength and the value system to choose what is right and what is wrong. But 2 points. First of all, I don't think that there are certain things that even if a person has a sense of right or wrong today, they should put themselves l'chatchila into a situation where they have to choose. There are certain things that should just be off limits. Certain things that are just off limits. There are certain things that we don't do. A. B is at the age of 4, 5, 6, 7, kids haven't developed that moral compass, that sense of right and wrong. And so therefore, instead of putting them in that situation in the first place, part of Chanoch Lenar al pi darko hatama ishit is not exposing them to those things in the first place. So that's what I refer to in Roman numeral 2. To prepare the ground for planting, we have to realize the following thing. Number 1, A, is from our cover pages, hatama ishit. B, Dr. Reich's point of understanding ourselves. C is internalizing that there are negative influences that we have to be careful to protect our children from them. And finally, D is a topic that's very, very uncomfortable to discuss, but is something that must be discussed in the context of raising children, and that is the topic of abuse. And that is that we as parents have a responsibility. The world is a crazy place. And we have a responsibility to protect our children from negative influences and do what we can to protect them from abuse. The approach that my wife and I took is when our children reach the age of about, 3, 4, 5, I don't remember exactly, so I'm going to, if you want to know the exact age, I'll have to get back to you. My wife is better at these things. But we sat down, we had a conversation with our children about appropriate things, and that is that the obvious case of physical abuse and sexual abuse, that's the most the clearest things to discuss with children, and there's nothing wrong already with that age by saying to a children very, very simply, and that is that if you'll notice that there are certain parts of our body that are normally covered, and there's certain parts that only when a person goes to the bathroom that they reveal. If anybody makes you feel uncomfortable in any way in regards to those parts of the body, or touches you in a way that's uncomfortable, then you should always feel comfortable to speak to Abba and Ima. And already at an age of 4 or 5, that's a conversation that one should have with children. The other part of protecting them, of course, is from strangers. And that is that this I think you could navigate on your own, to discuss the dangers of going with strangers. But those are things that, unfortunately, in our generation, are conversations that we have to have with our children. So that's an uncomfortable way to end, but I think that's unfortunately a reality of the way that we have to end as well. Children who have gone through a difficult situation, if their parents, the severest cases of abuse are usually cases in where it didn't happen once. but where the children didn't feel comfortable telling an adult. The precondition of whether a child is going to feel comfortable is all the things that we discussed above, where the children feel that their parents are with them, that there was a warmth, that there was an emotional closeness, that the parents were there and validated their feelings, that their feelings weren't rejected, that the parents understood Chanoch l'nar al pi darko. And then, ultimately then, in such a case, I think a child is in a very, very good place, that even if chas v'chalila, something uncomfortable happens to them, after the first time they'll tell their parents. That we still should be very, very vigilant. Unfortunately, even the fact that a neighborhood is religious means absolutely nothing. Nothing. Zero. Zero, zero, zero. God forbid an abuser could look very, very, very from. I'll just conclude with that statement, but there is more I could be ma'arich about that, but I think what I just need to say in those words. And if all of this way has been paved, if we've paved our way with our relationship with our children, then even if we're not talking about abuse, but we're talking about another difficulty, cases, let's take something that's less dramatic and less painful, but something serious, bullying. A parent that has already worked with their children that they have that sense of closeness. If God forbid a child is being bullied, so then the child will feel much more comfortable to approach your children. Now, I haven't dealt with the other side of children's behavior, and in a way, I've been very sugarcoating up until now the first two shiurim. Because all I've been talking about is being warm and fuzzy and being emotionally with and the clear method and so on. Everybody who's here, who's zochet to been a parent for a few days, knows that everything that I've discussed with you up until now is actually not entirely relevant. What do I mean is not entirely relevant? There's another side over here. And the other side is that children do act out, even if you're great parents. And so that's what we have to discuss. What we have to discuss in the next couple of sessions is what do we do when children are normal, despite the fact of everything that we described. This is not the formula of getting our children to act like beautiful dolls. It's not even the goal. Our goal is that our children should run around and turn on and off the lights and get up in the middle of the night and so on and so forth. Well, that's something that's beautiful. That's part of children being children. And testing the limits. And then when you finally rewarded them with something, then all of a sudden now they expect you to give it to them, etc., etc., etc. All of those things, Emir Tzashem, as once we've put down the basics, so then... And the basics need to be emphasized, even though in a vacuum, it's not the entire picture. But once we go in this process, then Be'ezer Hashem will be able to deal with the practical issues of when children begin to challenge and question and even challenge us to see if we could truly maintain this appropriate balance of Chanoch L'Nar Al Pi Darko. Be'ezer Hashem. We'll be next time.